Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of the 18 Yards podcast. The Euros are finally here, and 18 Yards is the best place for you to get ready for the biggest tournament of the summer. This is the first of three episodes where we're going to be previewing the six groups. For today's episode, we've got Group E and we've got the Group of Death, Group F. I have with me Ari. Who's going to be diving deep into the squads, the players to watch, the fixtures to watch, and everything you need to know about the upcoming tournament. But before we get into the Euros, Ari, not much obviously happening except the two massive games in the last week in football. So let's just talk about, a couple of things you've liked over the last week. Champions League final, the Europa League final, and a little bit about the managerial merry-go-round we've seen over the last week.
See, I think I was really happy that a team from Spain won the Europa League. And, it was Villarreal, a team that I really have come to like by watching La Liga this season. Coming to the Champions League, I think, Chelsea deserved that win. Pep got his tactics wrong. But that's not something that we can talk about in detail right now because that's not the. But I just want to say that Chelsea deserved the victory. Havertz, people wrote off Havertz so early in the season. Now he's showing, why he's worth all the money Chelsea paid for him. Scoring the win, the Champions League final is just immense. And obviously, being a Madrid fan, the manager merry-go-round is a bit irritating at times, but I'm hoping for a good end to it.
I think, yeah, I agree. I think, a lot of people expected City to win. I expected City to, I wanted City to win. But, I mean, everyone says it as a joke that Pep overthinks in finals, but I think, not in finals, but in the latter stages of the Champions League. But, I think while obviously he is, in my opinion, top three managers of the modern era, I think, in my opinion, unless he wins the Champions League at City, I don't think his time at City has been as much of a success as he should be judged by. Because, I mean, he spent £500 million on that team. And with spending that much, domestic success has to be guaranteed. And I think they brought him in to win the Champions League, and he hasn't. And he sometimes makes irrational decisions, especially with City in the Champions League latter stages, like we saw, I mean, not playing Rodri or Fernandinho for the first time in 60 games, in the last and most important game of the season. I mean, it's a bit nuts. So, I mean, yeah, and they were good games, both Villarreal United and City Chelsea were good games. And the managerial merry-go-round, I'm tired of it. I can't deal with it anymore. I just want Spurs to appoint a manager. I think it's now between Conte, Ten Hag, and Poch. I'd be lying if I said I'd be equally happy if it was any of the three. I'd be very happy if it was Conte or Poch. Heart says Poch, head says Conte. I'd be a little disappointed if it was Ten Hag, but I'd still be happy. He's a very good manager. So yeah, so that's the last week of football wrapped up. Obviously, before we dive into the Euros, big shout out to everyone who participated in the FPL. We could obviously the season wasn't over the last time we recorded, so we didn't talk about the league. We are going to be posting the top 10 from our league on social media in the next few days. Big shout out to Carl Aoun who won the league. And Ari, obviously you didn't have the year you wanted. I did.
Yeah. Bad year for FPL.
Yeah, but we'll be having a fantasy league for the Euros as well on the official Euro 2020 app. We'll be posting the details of that soon as well. So definitely hop on to that. And obviously, it'll be hotly contested, and there'll be a award for the winner, like there was with the FPL. Right, so let's get right into it. With the group of death, Portugal, France, Germany, and Hungary. I mean, it's when the draw was made a couple of years back, it was the most exciting group. Almost every single game is a hit. So let's get straight into it, Ari. Portugal, defending champions, they go into the tournament with not as high expectations as possibly France or Belgium or some of the other teams, but the expectations are high. They've got a good squad. What do you think? Let's just,
See, I think Portugal 2016 won the Euros with a way, way worse squad than the squad they have right now. And they won it. And this year, they really have a good shot because I'm looking at the squad right now and I can see some individual brilliance in the team in Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, obviously Ronaldo, Ruben Dias. So they have a lot of good individual players, but in the tournament, it's all going to come down to if these individual players can perform together and take this team to the finals or maybe even win it. But like you said, I think Portugal, though they are the defending champions and though they have a really good squad this year, I think France have a better team. In my opinion, Germany have a better 11 and even Belgium have a good enough team to beat Portugal. But obviously, by all means, I think Portugal's are one of the favorites to lift the cup at the end of the summer.
I do think, I think obviously on paper there are many teams that are that would look better than Portugal, but I think this Euros is going to be one of the best Euros there have been, because just even the weaker teams have some fantastic players. But I also do think that the winner is going to have a fairly balanced team. We've seen over the season, we've seen some upsets, etc., but we have seen that the teams that have had the fittest squads, the teams that have had the deepest squads, the teams that have had the most balanced teams have ended up winning their leagues. Maybe Lille is a outlier, but across the other leagues. So I think, in my opinion, Portugal have one of the top three most balanced squads, in, or at least the most balanced first 11 in at the Euros, because I mean, obviously the most balanced is France. They've got the best midfield, the best front line, and the best defense. But Portugal have Cancelo and Dias, who are coming off a fantastic season, especially defensively. They've got, I mean, Ronaldo, which Ronaldo. They've got a fantastic midfield, Bruno Fernandes, and I forgot the guy's name. I think Danilo Pereira from PSG. So
Yeah.
they've got a well-balanced midfield. They've got a very balanced team. So I wouldn't, I would definitely say Portugal has a good chance of getting going far at the Euros. Now quickly, we're just gonna run through the rest of the three squads, and then we'll talk about, players to look out for and which are the big games. Obviously, almost every game in this group is a big game. So going into Hungary. Now, it's very easy to look at this group and say, I mean, Hungary is this. You remember, I think last season there was Slavia Prague in the Champions League group of death, and their representative in the draw was just smiling and shaking his head.
Yeah, he knew you're gonna lose.
Exactly. You could very easily put Hungary into that category. But I think it's an international tournament. Anything can happen. You can't write off any team. Hungary's preliminary squad, because they haven't finalized the main squad, they've got a couple of good players. Dominik Szoboszlai, who plays for RB Leipzig, he's fantastic. For those that don't know him, he is very highly rated. He's a young player, very, very highly rated. So he's definitely one to keep an eye on. There's Willy Orban, who's a good defender. They've got Peter Gulacsi, who's also the Leipzig keeper. So, I think Hungary is definitely one to watch, and possibly if any team is having an off day, they can definitely cause an upset.
In 2014, if I'm not wrong, in the FIFA World Cup, at the in the group of death, there was Uruguay, Italy, England, and
England,
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, yeah.
And Costa Rica topped that group. So you never know
Yeah,
international football. You know, anything
for
can happen.
sure. Yeah. Right, so that's Hungary done with. Let's get into Germany. They've got a point to prove, you know, because the champions in 2014, they got to the semi-final in 2016, but didn't really light the tournament on fire. It's Joachim Löw's last tournament as Germany coach. And, you know, they've got a tough group to get out of. But what do you think?
I'm looking at Germany's 11 right now, and I really, really like it. I mean, look at that midfield. They have Toni Kroos and Joshua Kimmich, who are one of the best players in their position. İlkay Gundogan, who just come off a fantastic season with City. And they have Leon Goretzka, who's a brilliant, brilliant player. So look at these four players. Them starting together is a really, really plus point for Germany. And even their attack, you know, they have Thomas Müller, who's had a total of 40, 45 assists in the last two seasons in the league itself. Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané, you know, a lot of pace in that team, a lot of creativity in that team. And, you know, the only weak point in the team, I would have said, was the defense. But, you know, Rudi Gehr has, you know, completely changed himself since Tuchel's arrival. And even Matt Hummels, he's been playing well for Dortmund. So I think this team, in my opinion, is a really great team. And I think, you know, if I had to predict where they'll finish in the group, I think they'll finish above Portugal. Just looking at the team on the paper.
Right, so that's a big prediction in my opinion, because I would have thought, you know, France first, Portugal second, or Portugal first, France second. But that's a big prediction from Adi right there, saying Germany will finish above Portugal. Finally, world champions, Euro 2016 finalists, tournament favorites, France. You know, the big squad news is obviously that Karim, the dream Benzema, is back. I think Madrid have got him into that squad so that he can convince Mbappe to join you guys.
That's the
But
reason. I mean, every picture of the France pose or Benzema pose, it's with these two together. I mean, there has to be an ulterior motive for this inclusion.
obviously, you know, I mean, they're the easy favorites. They've got a very well-balanced squad. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the names here. Obviously, the standout name in this squad is Moussa Sissoko. How Sissoko has got into this squad is really beyond me. But you know, there are sometimes these players that perform better for their national team than they do for their club. You know, there are a lot of players that sometimes happens with, I don't know if it's the environment or what it is. I think Sissoko is definitely one of them. I think even when he was at Newcastle and Newcastle weren't doing that great, he was in the 2016 Euros, he performed really well. He was one of their standout players. So I mean, I don't see the need to really, you know, nitpick into France's squad because everyone knows how good they are. I'm just going to pinpoint two young players to watch in Jules Koundé of Sevilla. We've spoken about him before on this podcast. And Marcus Thuram of Borussia Gladbach. You know, obviously both had very good seasons. And both are young players to watch out for from this French squad. So then let's get into the predictions. Who are your players to watch out for? I think in this group it's fairly easy. And so we'll divide it into players to watch out for, sort of the common ones, and then let's maybe one from each team, you know, who are some of the maybe the younger players or the, you know, sort of the not breakthrough, but sort of, you know, outside of the conventional players to watch out for, who you think. So let's start off with the conventional players to watch out for. I think, I mean, I'll go first. Ronaldo, Mbappe, Szoboszlai from Hungary, and tough one from Germany, you know. I don't know who to Who's my player to watch out for from Germany? Maybe Thomas Muller. He's always good in international tournaments.
Yeah, he's my pick too for Germany, Thomas Muller.
So
Yeah, he
do you
admire that
agree
player.
with my four?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Mbappe, Ronaldo, Muller, and Szoboszlai, I think. That's a good list.
And sort of some of the players that other players that you should keep an eye on that aren't, you know, your I mean that most people won't know about are like we said, Dominic Szoboszlai. I'd really keep an eye on this guy. He's a fantastic player. I think Willy Orban, also very good from Hungary. Hungary's goalkeeping unit is actually pretty good. With Gulácsi and Adam Bogdan. From Germany, definitely keep your eye on Jamal Musiala, who switched nationality from England to Germany recently. He's only 17, 18 years old. Fantastic season with Bayern, and you know, got a call up because of that. Keep an eye on Florian Neuhaus, also very good. You know, in France, you've got Jules Koundé, you've got Marcus Thuram, you've got
Even Lucas Hernandez from France. I mean, a lot of people don't know about him. I mean, he played at the World Cup, started when France won the World Cup, and he can play as a left back and he can play as a center back. And you know, if you watched PSG versus Bayern second leg, the one which Bayern won 1-0, if I'm not wrong, he was immense in that leg. He was brilliant. He's a really good player. I think he's gonna start for sure, probably as a left back because they already have two good central defenders already. Kimpembe and Varane.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of competition to get into that team because, you know, even Kurt Zouma is coming off a brilliant season. Where I do think France, you know, you could sort of question France is as at right back. You know, Benjamin Pavard could be exposed by some of the pacier teams, and you know, let's see how they deal with Germany's attack. You know, with Gnabry and Muller, and you know, I mean, I would say Werner, but. No, the guy can't hit.
I'll tell you about France. You know, they have a weak link in Pavard, but thing is, even if he gets outpaced, you know, they have this certain player, you know, the
Exactly.
short guy in N'Golo Kanté. I mean, he just keeps running. So no, even if Pavard gets outpaced, I'm pretty sure Kanté will be there to save his ass.
I think you know this important is you brought up Kante. I think this tournament is so important for Kante because I think he's been one of the most consistent players in world football over the last couple of years. I think if Kante has a decent Euros, he doesn't even, France don't need to win the Euros. He doesn't need to be the best player. Obviously, if those two things happen, then naturally. But I'm saying he needs to have a decent Euros, and I think he's definitely in with a shout for the Ballon d'Or and a very deserved Ballon d'Or at that. So I think. That's from both of us, definitely Kante one to watch. Now, in terms of the big games, obviously France Germany, France Portugal, Germany Portugal, Germany France. So those are definitely the ones to watch out for. Let's just take out what days those are. So we've got France versus Germany on the 15th of June. We've got Portugal
Well, that's
versus
the
Germany
global
on
home
the,
of France versus Germany.
yeah, we've got Portugal Germany on the 19th of June. And we've got France versus Portugal, which is a replay of the last final on the 23rd of June.
And that game might decide who's going to top the group. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely a very exciting group. Now, crunch time, Ari. Who do you think will qualify?
See, I think France will win the group. No questions about that. I think Germany qualify second, and I'm sensing Portugal will beat Hungary and qualify as one of the best third place teams, like they did in
So
round 16.
my question about the being the best third place team here is that to be the best third place team, you would need to because it's across the other groups, and right? I think it's four out of the six
Six.
groups.
Yeah.
So obviously, because you need to win at least, you need to beat Hungary for sure, and then possibly get points off either of the first and second. My only point about this is that if you don't have a good tournament, even if you do beat Hungary, if you get beaten handsomely by the other two, which is very possible, if even one of these top three teams has a off tournament, then you don't make it as a as one of the best third place. So that's going to be an interesting play, because the other two teams are so strong. You know, I mean, the potential is there for two teams to be so strong in this group that a third place team can, you know, get knocked out.
That'll
So
be something really unexpected to see one of these three favorites you get knocked out in the group stages.
for me, I'm going Portugal, France, Hungary, Germany.
You think Germany come fourth?
I think Germany will come fourth.
Big prediction. Big
Yeah,
prediction.
yeah. And I think we're gonna come back to this at the end of the group stages, and I may regret my words, but I do think that Hungary, with the underdog factor, are going to come third. And I think it'll be close between Germany and Hungary in their game, but I think that Hungary will win.
Let's see.
Now the round of 16 bracket. I think one of these teams, I think either the winner, yeah, so I think second place from this group plays the winner of England's group. I'm just pulling it out because I'm not sure who first place plays. Right. I've got it here. So we've got second place in this group plays first place from England's group. First place from this group plays third place from either group A, B, or C, and third place from this group will either play first place from group C or first place from group B. So, you know, I think definitely exciting games coming up with whoever goes through from this group in the round of 16, and definitely the standout being, you know, second place from this group versus first place from England's group, because that's, I mean, in my opinion, that'll be either Croatia or England versus either France or Portugal, in my opinion. So that's either, you know, I mean, that's a top game. So yeah, I think the big prediction from me is that Hungary qualifies the best third place team. Now the underdog factor, like I said, I'm pitting them to come third. You've obviously got them fourth, but I think Hungary is definitely a team to watch out for. We've spoken about their players quite a bit here, and I think if anyone is completely writing them off, I think it's a mistake. And I think they have the potential to be a surprise package. Moving on from Group F, we've got Group E. In Group E, we have Spain, Sweden, Poland, and Slovakia. Definitely a well-balanced group. You know, it's going to be a good watch. Let's get into the squads. Ari, I'm going to start with you because we're discussing Spain first. I'm going to start with you because I know you have a lot to say about this. Not a squad that you particularly like, not a manager that you particularly like. So why don't you let us know your thoughts?
I mean, I don't like Luis Enrique. I mean, he's a good manager. I mean, he's won a lot of stuff at Barcelona, and probably he is the most accomplished manager at the Euros in terms of club football. But he stinks of Barcelona bias. And that was pretty evident when he selected his squad and left out amazing players like Nacho and Iago Aspas in favor of Eric Garcia, who's not even played five games in the entire season. And even when he's played, he's made a lot of errors. So I think that his selection might come back to bite him. But looking at Spain's playing 11, I mean, obviously not having Ramos in the team has forced him to give the captain's armband to Sergio Busquets, who has to start now, right? He has to start now. And I think Sergio Busquets on his day, 5, 6 years ago, was the best midfielder in the world. but now he's not been playing well for Barcelona, and now he has to start for Spain. So that potentially takes away a spot from Rodri, who's been good for Manchester City for the past couple of seasons.
Yeah.
So I think his Luis Enrique selections might come back to haunt him against big sides, but I still see Spain having a better team than the rest of the three teams in the group. And I believe they'll still win the group, but when the tournament starts to go into the later stages, and when they start facing good teams, Spain will lose. And it's only because of the squad selection, and because I don't really appreciate, and I don't really like what he's done, what kind of players he's left at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was very surprising for me as well to see no Ramos, no Nacho for that matter, and Eric Garcia, who's, you know, I mean, at these tournaments, experience comes in handy, and he has selected Busquets, he selected Jordi Alba, he selected Koke, but I think these are the only players with Cesar Azpilicueta, but these are the only players with proper Spain experience, you know. I mean, there's no reason to not select Sergio Ramos. I mean, even if he's not been completely fit throughout the season, I think you take him simply for his leadership. You know, you take him because he's good to have around a squad, especially a squad with such young players, you know, Dani Olmo, Mikel Oyarzabal. I think this squad selection has really sort of dampened my view of Spain at this tournament. Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting Spain to light up Euro 2021. I think they'll finish first or maybe second, depending on how Lewandowski is feeling, basically. So I think, you know, Spain, let's see. In my opinion, not looking that great. Now, up next, we've got Sweden. I think the one thing to remember about Sweden is that ever since Zlatan left, or Zlatan retired, and I mean, he's injured for this tournament again, so he's not playing. But ever since he retired before the 2018 World Cup, this entire Swedish team has become, I mean, I don't know, you could single out a few players, but I think there's no one standout player who's carrying this team. There are no stars. You know, it's very, very, very much a team effort. We saw that at the World Cup where they got to the quarterfinals. I think their World Cup performance was not talked about enough. They got to the quarterfinals and they lost to a fairly good England side. So I think definitely Sweden's one to keep your eye on. And I did say that, you know, it depends on how Lewandowski is feeling with Spain coming second. But I think Sweden are the second team to watch out for in this group behind Spain. You've got players like Dejan Kulusevski. He's had a good season amongst poor performing Juventus team. You've got Alexander Isak, who's very, very good. You've got Emil Forsberg, who's been very good. You know, the defense isn't that bad either. You've got Pontus Janssen, who has just gotten promoted to the Premier League with Brentford. You've got Victor Lindelof. Had an on and off season, but, you know, I mean, these are players that can do well, you know, with the way Sweden play as a unit. I think this is a team that can do really, really well.
I agree with you. I mean, you rightly said, you know, they don't have any individual stars per se. And it was really sad, you know, because Ibrahimovic retired and then he saw Sweden qualified for the Euros, said he's going to make a comeback. And then he unfortunately got injured. So I think they'll have to play without him. And they've been managing to do that for the last two, three years. And I think, I won't say for sure that they'll finish second, because you still have Poland and Slovakia in the group who aren't really far behind, and some would say ahead of Sweden. But I think they have a really good shout of qualifying from the group, be it third placed or runners up.
I agree. And you know, with Zlatan out, it does, you know, I mean, on paper, that's like, oh, that's their best player, you know, they're not going to do well. But I think Zlatan would have, in my opinion, made them favorites to win this group. I think they're still going to do well because this is a team like Zlatan was the cherry on top. This is a team that can function very well without Zlatan. They have no problem playing without him because they've played without him till now, till the last international break. And they'll do so after this tournament as well. I think now that he's missing the tournament, I don't think he's going to, you know, I mean, you never know with Zlatan, but I don't think he'll be around for the World Cup next year.
Yeah, maybe 42.
So moving on from Sweden, we've got Slovakia. You know, you've got the famous Mohawk of Marek Hamšík. You've got Martin Dubravka. You know, I mean, not so many big name players. I mean, you've got Milan Škriniar, you know, who's one I really like. I really hope he'd come to Spurs. Hope he does come to Spurs this summer. There's Andre Duda as well. So, you know, I mean, not a bad team overall. But I mean, I won't have them. I think this team is going to come fourth.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think they'll come fourth. They are not a bad team, but the others in the group are better than them.
I agree. And finally, Poland, led by probably one of the two best strikers in the world. My opinion second, but most people's opinion is that he is the best. They've got a really strong squad. I'm looking at it here. They've got a very strong squad. They've got Kamil Glik. They've got Jan Bednarek of Southampton. You know, Fabianski, Szczesny, very good goalkeeping unit. They've got Matthias Glik, had a brilliant season with Leeds. They've got Lewandowski, obviously. They've got Milik, Piotr Zielinski. This is a very good team. Definitely lots of players to watch out for. So, any thoughts on this squad?
I think Poland have the second best team in the group. And they should, in my opinion, is between Sweden and Poland for the runners-up for this group. And I think, I have a feeling Poland will take it just because of Lewandowski. I mean, he will score a couple of goals, maybe 3-4 goals in the group stages. And I think that's enough to carry his team into the next round. And I believe, yeah, I think they have a good squad for an underdog team, that is. And obviously led by Lewandowski. I mean, 41 goals in 29 Bundesliga games. It's unreal. Unreal player.
For my group predictions, I think we'll do those later. But I've got a bit of a curveball in here. I think my Euro predictions are going to be a little all over the place. It's really going to come back to bite me, but I'm going to go for it. So the players to watch out for in this group are obviously Lewandowski, Hamšík. From Spain, you could probably say, who's the one standout player?
I have three in mind.
Go for it, because I don't really have one standout player.
Gerard Moreno, who scored 31 goals in this season, you know, scored in the Europa League final. Scored 7-8 goals in the Europa League, scored 23 goals in the La Liga. And, you know, he's a great player. I think he'll start ahead of Morata in attack. Obviously, you have Marcos Llorente. Atletico won the La Liga, you know, people talk about Suarez because he scored goals, but I think Llorente was Atletico's best player this entire season. He got 25 goals and assists from midfield in La Liga. And I don't know where he's going to play. I mean, I have a very, very good feeling that Enrique is going to play him as a right back, which is still fine. I mean, he's still a good player, but his potential and his attacking returns would diminish him playing in defense. But I think he's still a player to watch out for. And another one, in my opinion, is Pau Torres. He's one of the most sought-after defenders in the world right now. He's 24 years old, had a brilliant Europa League final you know, he was one of the best players on the field in the final, and he's been one of the best defenders in La Liga for a couple of years. So he's one to watch.
And for me, from Sweden, I think also a couple of players, Alexander Isak, had a brilliant season with Sociedad. Emil Forsberg, he's the guy that makes his team tick. Dejan Kulusevski. So those are the three for me to watch from Sweden. Now, who will qualify and your group predictions?
I think Spain take the group, 9 points. Mm-hmm. Poland comes second.
Okay.
It's between Poland and Sweden. I think Poland edge out Sweden because of Lewandowski. Mm-hmm. And Sweden come third. I'm not saying they'll qualify as best third place team, but they'll come third in this group. And Slovakia come last.
So mine are slightly different to yours. I have Slovakia coming last. I have Poland coming third. And I have Spain coming second.
Really?
With Sweden taking the group. I just think, you know, I think we've seen this with Poland in past tournaments. Their strength, I think their two strengths, like in terms of positions, their two strongest positions are forward and goalkeeper. And I think both are positions where one player is going to play. So I think out of the top five best players, two are going to be on the bench.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Poland have it to take first or second. I think Sweden is a very, very cohesive unit. And so is Spain. So I think it's going to be close for first place. But it's going to be fought out between two proper teams. You know, it's not going to be done on individual brilliance. I think it'll be whoever is the better team will take first place. So this is going to be definitely an interesting watch. For me, I think the controversy around the Spain squad, I don't see... I mean, there are easily places to catch out the Spain team. You know, I'm not too sure about the defense. So
I like the defense, honestly, even without Nacho. I mean, they have Laporte and they have Pau Torres as center backs, and you know, they have really good wing backs in Jordi Alba, who's brilliant, probably the second best left back of our generation. And they have Marco Llorente or Azpilicueta at right back. So I think, I mean, for me, Spain is winning the group.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see come June 23rd.
yeah.
Who's got these ones right? Now the games to watch out for here are obviously we've got Spain versus Sweden to kick off the group, and Poland plays Slovakia on the 14th of June. We've got Sweden versus Slovakia on the 18th of June, and Spain versus Poland on the 19th of June. And then obviously we've got Sweden versus Poland, which in the end, I mean, I know I've said Sweden first, but this is a game that could definitely decide second place.
Second place, yeah.
So that's a very, very big game. And I think going ahead in the tournament, second place from this group plays second place from England's group. You never know, you know. I mean, in the World Cup, you had England basically throwing the last game versus Belgium to come second, right? Because that was the easier route to the final. You could see something like that happening this time as well, because that is the case again. The winner of this group plays third place from group A, B, C, or D. I think in terms of third place, if you avoid third place from group F, then you're basically looking at an easier draw.
Yeah.
And third place from this group has to compete with group A, D, and F to qualify. And they either play first place from group C or first place from group B, which is obviously exciting games as always in the round of 16. I think for the underdogs in this group, I think Slovakia too far out to be in the conversation. I think I'm massively backing an underdog team. You're saying Poland can come second, so I think those are the two underdog teams that you can watch out for in this group. Right, so that's it for the Euros preview of this group. Ari, quickly before I let you go, anything you're looking forward to in terms of football this week? There's some good international friendlies coming up. You've got France versus Wales on the 2nd, Spain versus Portugal on the 4th. You've also got the under-21 Euros, the knockout stages starting from tonight. So some exciting games before, the Euros
Yeah.
start at the end of next week.
I'm looking forward to France versus Wales, because obviously Karim the Dream, my favorite player, is going to be making a comeback after 6 years. So I'm really excited to see how he plays alongside a future Madrid player in Mbappe.
And he's playing against your other favorite player.
He's playing against his old teammate, one of the Holy Trinity in Gareth Bale. Let's see.
So obviously exciting international friendlies. I'm pretty excited about those, and I think we'll both be excited if our clubs can resolve our managerial crisis.
Surely, I mean, whoever it is, just make an announcement soon. I'm fed up with all the merry-go-round,
I agree with your sentiments there.
man.
I think lastly, just we're gonna be coming out, like I said, with our Euro fantasy league soon in the next 2 or 3 days. We'll drop a link on our social media, so do register, and there'll be some exciting awards to give away as well. Thank you for listening, Ali. Thank you as always. See you next week.
Thank you. Stay safe, guys.